Hello, I am Coach Dina, and I want to welcome you to tonight's call with guest coach Susie Haitley. Tonight's call is titled Working Through Pain and Movement. This month, our membership focus is moving our bodies in a way that is doable for us. If you've thought, I can't, or I don't want to participate in the challenge, because I'm experiencing pain, I'm so happy you're here. Tonight, guest coach Susie will be here to answer your concerns. I'll be in the chat with you tonight, typing in all caps so you see me, not because I'm yelling at you. This is an open coaching session, which means that you can raise your hand, your digital hand, by pushing the button on the bottom of your Aloha, Bernadette, the bottom of your screen that says raise hand. That will alert Coach Susie that you want to come on camera and be coached by her. And she can work with you to answer any question that you may have for her regarding pain and how you can find a doable way to incorporate movement into your life. We also have a Q&A box available. If you have a specific question for guest coach Susie and you don't want to come on camera, pop your question in that Q&A box on the bottom of your screen and Coach Susie will take a look and give you an answer. As I get ready to call her up on screen, I want to tell you a little bit about her. She helped in the membership with her expertise last year when we did another movement event in the membership called DSB. So you may remember her and you may recognize her from that time. Speaking of expertise, let me tell you a little bit about her. She has a degree in biomechanics and kinesiology, and she blends that together with therapeutic aspects of yoga so that she can support her clients in reducing and sometimes even eradicating the physical aspects of pain. She has been doing this work for almost 30 years, and two of her programs have been studied at a university level, one on cancer recovery and one on idiopathic pulmonary fibrosis. She also trains health professionals and other yoga teachers in these concepts so that they can spread the word that relief is possible. She's also a master certified life coach, which means she really gets that mind-body connection. She understands the process of reducing the physical aspects of pain as a whole body, whole mind, whole being experience. She has a podcast that she shares her concepts and her teachings called From Pain to Possibility. And guess what? She's here. That's the most exciting news. I'm going to promote her to panelists. Am I promoting you, Susie? Did it happen? Hi there. Success.
Yep, success it is. So good.
Let me see if I can also promote you as co-host. Yes, make co-host. That way you will be able to add and put down the panelists back. And I will leave, I will turn off my camera and I'll be in the chat. If you can check the Q&A box for our members, yep. I will leave it all up to your very capable hands. Welcome.
You bet. So good. I'm so glad to be here. So good. Let me pull up some slides because what my intent here is to do is I want to do a little bit of teaching with you, and then I'm going to open up the gates for coaching and more teaching to specific scenarios that you're experiencing. And Donna L, I am delighted to be here too. I'm so happy to be here. And so Jill, I see you've got a question about your feet in the chat or in the Q&A. Really, really good. Welcome, Linda. Really, really good. Rhonda, I love it that you are super excited to learn about avoiding pains in the aging process. Yeah, we'll be talking all about that. All right. So let me share my screen. And here we are. Share screen. Okay. So, voila. Working through pain and movement. So you have an experience of my background. Dina, thank you so much for that. Thank you for including all that. Thank you for the great introduction. And then to everybody, like from everybody on the Mobius team, like, thank you so much, because I love coming into this group and teaching, because there is already the undercurrent of mindset into this. And a lot of what we're going to be talking about has to do with your brain and how your brain and your body work together. So that you already get this is like 90% of the situation. And the biomechanics part, it's super important. But when you have the brain part of it handled, then it makes the body part work so much better. Okay, so I want to just share, just to give some more context for you, some fundamental beliefs. And so I work with people, primarily with people with persistent issues of pain, of physical pain. And I have a fundamental belief that healing is possible. And I want to be really clear that this is different than curing. And there's a distinction for me between those two. So for example, I can be working with someone who has a bulge disc, for example, or they've had some degenerative disc disease, or they've had a discectomy or disc removed, or they've got arthritis, or they've got something of that sort. I'd even go so far, like I work a lot with people who happen to have pain who also have rheumatoid arthritis or other kind of flare up type of conditions. And I've been able to work with them to reduce their flares, but the flares don't go away. Like, meaning like the rheumatoid arthritis diagnosis still persists, if that makes sense. But how they experience that in their body is a totally different. And so the disc protrusion or the bulge disc or the degenerative disc or the arthritis, those are structural things that have occurred in your body. And those things don't go away. However, how your tissue responds absolutely can change. So then you feel very different in your body. So do you get that? So Linda, so can it be managed and not cured? So let me be really clear. I cannot change degeneration in a bone, right? That's already happened, right? So I don't have that kind of power. The power that I have is how your tissue responds, so that you can absolutely get out of pain. I am a master at helping people reduce and eradicate pain. And those people still have degeneration in their joint. Got it? Yeah. They still have the bulging disc, or they've had the surgery and they've got segmental instability between their two vertebrae, for example. So it's like those things exist. Like, my husband still has a psoriasis diagnosis, but he no longer has flares in his body, right? So it's still there. We're not managing it. The pain is actually reduced significantly or eradicated. Okay. So that's the biggest piece that I want to share with you. Okay. So now let me just move this Q&A button. Perfect. Okay. The second piece, a big, big piece that's missing in recovery and healing, rehabilitation and healing, on a professional side of things, is that a lot of medicine goes after the fix, right? There's a problem. Let's fix it. Let's find the scan. Let's fix it. They look at an MRI or a CT or an X-ray, and you can probably tell I'm quite passionate about this. So I'll just keep going. And they will look at that and they will say, look, there's all this problem. Look at all this problem that exists in your body, right? And they'll look at a blood scan and go, look at all this problem that exists in your body. We got to fix this thing. Or this is just the way it's going to be for you. You're going to have to deal with pain the rest of your life. So the problem is that they look at structure and they think that structure dictates function. Because if I have and keep, I'm going to show you my skeleton here. If I show you this hip joint here, and I'll pop off my share for a sec so it's more clear here. If I show you the hip joint here, it's a certain shape, right? The knee joint is a certain shape. So the way that this bone moves in the socket, the way that this moves here is going to be different because of its shape. So in that case, Structure does dictate function. Absolutely. However, but an MRI does not dictate function. So you may get an MRI and the readout is whatever it is. You make an X-ray, the readout is whatever it is. The CT scan, the readout is whatever it is. It's basically telling you, here is the telephone, but it doesn't let you know if it's ringing or not. And so there's lots of people who have a lot of stuff going on in their body, and there's lots of degeneration, and they don't have pain. And then there's people who do. So it starts to become really interesting about what is actually creating or contributing to the pain, right? And so that's another place where I'm really, really good at supporting people. Okay, so let me go back to my shared screen. We'll keep this running really quickly here. I think it's this one. Okay. So then if I come down to here, the big piece to this puzzle then that we need to do is we need to really, really slow down. And so we are going to be doing some movement. We are going to do a bit of a practice today. We really and truly need to slow down. Yeah. And we need to really go at the pace of what nature is. We need to slow down enough to feel, to really tune in, right? Not be in a rush. And we also need to understand the brain and the body and how they respond to pain, okay? And the first piece is that what we have to understand is that the way we interpret any sensation all lives in our brain. So the experiences of the things and how we think about the sensations we have in our body will either accentuate what they feel or they will settle them down, right? So our brain is a meaning-making machine. And if we feel threatened or super worried about a sensation or pain, that will get heightened. And if we don't feel worried or concerned, and if we know we've got our backs, then the pain levels go down. So the pain is real, but how we are thinking about it has a really, really, really big impact. Okay. So that's super important to understand the role that your thinking plays in this. The other piece of it from a mechanical standpoint is that where the pain is not the problem. And I remember Trudy, who's a member here, she was actually telling me this on my podcast the other week. She was like, when you said that, Susie, I did not believe you because my pain is here. I got a problem here, right? But the pain is an expression of the problem. It lets us know there's a pattern that's showing up that's contributing to what you're feeling and why you're like to what it is that you're feeling. And we often have to discover what that is. And in my line of work, what I get to look at is your biomechanical patterns, the way that you move. We also call them compensation patterns. We're going to be exploring them today. We're going to be looking at these and the ones that aren't ideal. And when we can turn those patterns around and move a bit better, which we're going to do a little bit today, then we can change a lot of our experience. And so here's what starts to happen. When our body begins to feel better, guess what happens to our brain? Our brain often thinks different thoughts about how we feel. And then we start to feel better, right? Because now if we're thinking different thoughts because our body's feeling a bit different, that just starts to add momentum. And then our body starts to feel better. And then our brain starts to think better. Do you see what I mean? See how it goes back and forth? And then those moments where you start to feel better, you go, wait a second here. I can actually do this. I can actually feel better. Now you start to really hone a habitual thought pattern of like, I can do this for myself. I can do this. Now you've got your back. So even if the pain does come back, and a couple of people that I work with, like they push themselves too hard, or they fall down, or they do whatever they do and pain comes back, then it's like, oh, but I know what to do to settle it back down again. Do you know what I mean? Right. So as Ross says there, it's so true. The more work on the patterns help the top of the foot pain in ways that you never thought were connected. Yeah. Cool. I love it. I love it. So it's like, you know, you've got this for yourself. So then things to really consider that we're going to play with for a few minutes here is your breathing pattern, your biomechanical patterns, and your body awareness. So how you breathe, what your breathing's doing, your biomechanical patterns, and your body awareness. And the reason for this is because you can't change anything you're not aware of. So a lot of times those biomechanical patterns that I'm talking about are under our level of awareness, right? Because we tend to chase after symptoms and go after the symptoms because the symptoms are what are grabbing our attention. But oftentimes when we're doing that, we're playing like a game of whack-a-mole, like, and we're chasing the symptoms or chasing the pain. We can't quite get our hands around it. Yeah. And so the idea here is if you can slow down enough, we're going to do that in a moment, slow down enough to be able to tap into what's going on, then you can actually start to change a pattern. And the power lies in the pattern, not in one single pain point, if that makes sense. Okay. So what I want to do to kind of highlight this is I'd like to take you through a little bit of an exercise. And it's about 20 after four here where I am. And I'm going to take about 15 minutes. And I'm just before I switch gears, I just want to scan through here and just see some of the questions here. Yep. Okay. 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 All right. Okay. A lot of foot stuff here. Okay. All right. Perfect. So what we're going to do is I want you just to sit or stand wherever you are. So find a place where you're comfortable. So it might be sitting and it might be standing. It might be lying down, but I am setting this all up because I know a few people that I know have trouble getting to the floor or staying on the floor because it's uncomfortable because of pain. So you can always just be here. And where I'd love for you to begin is just to notice yourself breathing. First step. And you might place your hand at the base of your breastbone or the top or towards your belly or maybe at your chest. Or maybe down lower towards your pelvis or just on your legs. And I want you just to simply notice your inhale coming in and your exhale going out. Your inhale coming in and your exhale going out. So just notice how your breath is moving through your system. Yeah. And a lot of times we think about trying to get more breath in. And what I have found is that there's all sorts of things that can happen in our respiratory system that can limit our ability to breathe that are all very real and very true. And I also like to think about how air, breath before it was breath, was air sitting in front of our face. And the air comes into our nose because of a vacuum change and a pressure change. And in it comes and it turns into breath and does all its respiratory stuff. And then it goes back out. But what can really impact the way and the amount of air that can come in is what goes on through our tissue, through our neck, through our rib cage, down through our belly, into our pelvic floor. And if we're limited, like we're tight, we're tense in our tissue, then the ability for our rib cage to expand and our lungs to expand can be limited or more limited. So if you can just settle into this idea of inhaling and exhaling and just feeling your breath come in and feeling your breath go out and breathing in the way that feels the easiest to you. For some of you, it'll be in through the nose and out through the nose or in through the nose and out through the mouth. And the more, if you're a mouth breather, like in and out through the mouth, then ultimately you want to move towards going through the nose if your nose is all clear and there's nothing blocking your nose. Only because it helps slow down that rhythm of breath, which can be really, really great for settling a nervous system. And having a nervous system or your brain more settled can also settle pain. Because if we're in a heightened state, the tendency is for our pain symptoms to ultimately also be heightened too, right? So when we can settle our state a bit, when we can relax our nervous system a little bit, then oftentimes that has a relationship to the way that we experience pain. Yeah. So breathing starts to become number one. So when you're out for your movements that you're doing or the activity that you're doing, or however, whether it's walking or running, or I mean, when I'm on the exercise board or the plus 55 board, I see all sorts of things that different people are doing. Tune into your breathing, tune into how you're inhaling and exhaling. And even when it's like heavier work and you're huffing and puffing, like just notice, can you bring a smoothness and a coordination even when you're breathing hard, right? Just kind of thinking about where is my breath? And then the next thing is to simply notice your body. Okay. And we're going to do a movement. We're going to do a basic twist. And here we're going to start, because a lot of times when people are doing yoga or exercise and they're doing a twist, they'll take their hands and they will bring their hand over here and then they'll shove themselves around into a twist, right? Shove themselves around into a twist. And what I want you to play with is to simply bring your palms together and bring the middle finger up towards your chin. And then start to twist like so. So you're just moving your rib cage. So if I bring my handy dandy skeleton over, just move the rib cage like this. And the engine of moving that rib cage is right in here, is your abdominal muscles, your obliques. And so just allow your abdomen to move that rib cage around. So just think about moving that rib cage and your pelvis is quiet. And just notice where you land. Yeah. Then go the other way. Okay, now here is what's really interesting. Okay, so there's someone mentioned that they got a cramp at the bottom of the ribcage. Brilliant, good. Now you'll notice I say that a lot, because what I love is that you're aware that you got a cramp. That's a great thing to be aware of. So now if you notice tension, if you notice tightness or whatever, now move only as far as none of that cramping happens. Move only as far as your breathing is easy. Right. So now notice, wait, if you went all the way and you pushed, did your breath, like if I push, I can actually hear my voice kind of, it's coming up into here. Whereas if I'm here, now my breath, my voice has a different tone versus when I'm coming up to here, I can feel strain up and through this area. You hear that difference in my voice, right? So can you only breathe or move, sorry, as far as you can easily breathe? Okay. And then going the other way, same thing. Can you move? First of all, only as far as you can comfortably breathe and that there's no cramping and no increase of tension. Yeah. So notice where that is. Now, here's the thing. When people have persistency of pain, here's something that's really, really common, is because there's been pain for such a long time, you know how to just barrel through, right? It's one of the great things that you're able to do. You just know how to get the job done. You know how to get your day done. When it comes to movement, however, that's when I ask my clientele to pull back, that you don't have to get your day done. In fact, what we want you to do when you're on the mat is move in a range of motion that does not increase your pain. Move in a range of motion that does not increase your pain. Because here's what we're trying to do. We want to give your nervous system, we want to give your brain a different experience of movement. If you move in the range that always has that cramp or always has that tension or always has the pain, then that's the signal you send to your nervous system as this is the normal way to move. And if you move in a range that does not increase those, now you're sending a different signal. You're saying, this is the way that I want to move. Yeah. And so sometimes that can be really tricky, because if you've had a persistency of pain for a period of time, or if you've, say, have a hypermobility disorder like EDS, then you might like feel like the need to really push really hard. And so I'm just going to offer up to you, you can move in a range where you can easily breathe. Easy breathing. Like find that range. That's what you start to cultivate. Now, your brain might have all sorts of things to say about that. Like, I'm not going far enough. I'm not going to get better. Like, and many other things. And that's okay. Just say, hey, I get you. I got your back, right? Because as you start to feel better, we're going to do a couple more things here. Then you might start to notice your range starts to improve. We'll see if that happens. Okay. So now with that in mind, I love that, Roz. Sitting on a yoga block, notice bracing at the hip flexors, which are not necessary for a twist movement. Exactly, because the twisting is happening here. All right, so now what we're going to do, arms are going to come up like so. And you're going to move your arm forward and back. So if I give you a side angle here, you'll notice this is my shoulder blade here. I'm going to move that forward and I'm going to move that back. I'm going to show it to this guy here. Shoulder blade is here. You're going to move it towards your spine and away from your spine. So the movement towards the spine is something we call retraction. Moving it away from the spine is something called protraction. And so what you'll do is you're here, you're moving that forward and moving it back. Now, notice something. When you do that, are you lifting your shoulder to your chin, right? Or are you pulling it down towards your hip? And can you just leave it right here and then go forward and back? Now, these guys are going to move because they're attached, but they're not doing this. Like, I'm not taking it up here. I'm only moving it forward. So this arm is staying level. Okay. Can you find that and feel that and feel that blade moving toward and away? And then just notice, what else are you doing to do the movement? Like, what else are you, that is happening to do it? Okay. And then do the same thing on the other side. Can you make it so you're just moving that arm and that shoulder blade forward and back? Okay, good. Okay, so now from here, oh, hi, Sarah, you're holding your breath. Okay, awesome. I'm so glad you noticed that. So now, can you do that movement with breathing? Yeah. And you don't have to like inhale, exhale. You could, you don't have to, but then you can do this. That's great. All right, great. Okay, so now from here, let's do this. So we're going to take ourselves into a twist. Okay, good. Now it's gentle, right? You're only going to the point where you're not getting tension and you're easily breathing. And if you're easily breathing, you can start to bring one arm forward. So this arm is going to come protract and the blade's going to move away and then retract the other blade. Protract, retract. Protract, retract. Protract, retract. See how now I'm actually, for me, you can see that I'm twisting a little bit further because there's muscles that the muscle that comes across the body here, or there's not a muscle that crosses. There's muscles that are here and there's muscles that are here, but there's a myofascial line. So there's connective tissue and muscles that connect together and form a movement line. And that connects all around and spirals around. So then you connect the way that your upper body is moving. Yeah. Okay. Now come back, take the twist. Okay. Protract, move that arm away and pull that blade back to whatever is able. And now notice what you're feeling. Okay. Good. And then come on back. Okay. Now just take a pause and sit here and notice if you notice anything different in your body. It could be anything. It could be lighter. It could be open. It could be emotional. There might be tension. You might have become aware of the way that you're moving is different than you expected. All right. I'm almost in tears. Like, I might actually be able to do this. Yay. Good. I'm in constant pain in my hands, knees, hips, and feet, and almost always in a wheelchair in order to leave the house. At home, I hobble around and end up in the wheelchair all the time. Well, If you can actually move and do this, Karen, you're on your way. Yeah. All right. My left hand tingles when reaching for the right arm. Okay. So Rhonda, then in my world, I would say move in a range that doesn't increase tingling. So keep in a tingling free range. Okay. You're looser, says Vicky. Brilliant. More relaxed. Brilliant. Tension under shoulder blades. Okay, so you moved a little bit too far that I'm betting there, Sarah. My body feels warm and excited to feel alive. Okay, great. Perfect. So the tingling is a feeling alive experience for Terry. Okay, good. Good. Good, 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 good. Okay. I feel calm. Brilliant. This is awesome. I have bad knees, back, and neck. Awesome. Muscles feel warm. Great. Shoulder pain is gone. Brilliant. I'm in therapy for my neck and shoulder. This causes tension in the shoulders and upper back. Okay. So you may have just gone a little bit too far. Yeah. This is the tricky bit when I'm doing a group, when I can't see people move. And the good news is you notice the tension. So then come back to, and this goes for everybody. So I'm glad you brought this up. So go back to like, where is your breathing? And then take your hands out of it and then now practice the twisting. So it's only here and you're only moving in the range where the tension is not being increased. Okay. Okay. So now we're going to play around with a couple of things in the neck. So from here, then just bring in your ear to one side and then the ear to the other side. Ear to one side. Ear to the other side. Well, that's an interesting insight. I keep bending my elbows when I move my shoulders. And so your elbows are compensating for your shoulders. Isn't that fun? So ear to one side, ear to the other side. ear to one side, ear to the other side. Okay. So now just move your head. And now here's the thing that you need to keep in mind. If you're someone who's got a little bit of ambition and you just really want to kind of push, there's a little tiny bit of push or a lot, then I want you to stay in the range where you're not pushing. So find an easy range where you're easily breathing, easily breathing. Yeah. And you're going to come to wherever that point is. So I'm going to keep my range super small so that I demonstrate very small movement. Okay. So there, now start to take a nod here like this. Okay. Now here's what's important about this one. Notice if your shoulders start to lift or you start to gain tension anywhere down through here, down towards your pelvis. And can you find the range of where to put your neck? So you might bring your head all the way over here, but don't do that if you've got tension. Yeah. So find the range where you're easily breathing. Your tongue is relaxed, your jaw is relaxed, and then you're here and you just start to nod your head. Okay, and then bring it back and then go to the other side and do the same thing. Okay, now finish that. Now notice what you are feeling having done that with your neck. And when you're ready, come back to the twist where you had your palms together, taking the twist and taking the twist. Taking the twist. And does the twist now, does it feel any different? If you were using your arms and it was okay to use the arms, and you come back to here and you do a bit of the shoulder blade work, does it feel any different? And it might. And it might not, but I'm curious, does it feel any different having done that work with your torso, having done a little bit of work with your neck? Aha, so Terry's more flexible. I feel muscle pulling from neck to head, okay? I can twist more, says Angie. Brilliant. And then when you're twisting, pain in the upper thigh is not as deep. What the heck is that about, right? What's the thigh responding to some movement in the torso? Isn't that great? I feel more range, but only in one direction. Okay, great. Great insight. Further range of motion without tension. Great. Pain in upper thigh, not as deep. Okay, great, Kim. I'm glad you didn't do it. Less tension under the shoulder blades, I think is what you mean, Sarah. Yeah, shoulder pains. Either less tension under the pains or less tension under the shoulder blades. And I'm tipping forward. All right, back muscles around the ribs feel tight. Okay, so good awareness there. Yeah, brilliant. Okay, good. Good, good, good. Okay, so a couple things to notice there is that those of you who noticed that your body was feeling better, did anything change in the way that you thought? Did anything start to notice? Did you feel anything distinct in terms of your thought pattern? Yeah. Right. So then, and so just notice, I thought I can do movements this small. Yes. That's great. And notice, Megan, how does it make you feel when you're noticing the thought, I can do moves this small? And then Kim, notice what you feel when you have the thought, yes, I want to do it again. Notice what you feel. Yeah, calmer, feels good. It's calming to move well. Oh boy, you guys are going fast. You're going. Clouds in the brain have cleared. Okay, great. Good. And notice the thinking that's showing up, Michelle, because sometimes when the clouds clear, other thoughts that surprise us show up, right? Amazed, it doesn't take huge effort to get results. Yes. Awesome. So notice how that feels in that amazement feels in your body, Karen. Notice how amazement feels in your body as the sensation. And notice what that overall feels in your system. So now you've got this experience of whatever the tension, pain, or sensation pattern was there and what amazing feels like in your body. The two of them can coexist. You don't have one, not the other necessarily, but they can be, you can have equal amounts of them, yeah? But you'll start to notice that as you notice this one more and you work with this one settles out and this one goes up. Yeah. Okay. Really, really good. Hey, Megan, I feel relieved, excited, and really hopeful. Awesome. 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 I can't believe the change of my thoughts in the last half hour versus of years of seeing doctors. Oh, you're going to make me cry, Megan. Yeah. So now you see that relationship. Brilliant. This is why I do this. All right. I've had a sore, stiff neck for several weeks. Doing these small moves instead of hard stretches. Yes. Feels so much better. Still feel soreness in the lower neck. Okay, great. Okay. So Kelly, what's brilliant about this, I've had a sore, stiff neck for several weeks. Okay, brilliant. So there's a temporal timing that we know of. Doing the small moves instead of hard stretches feels better. Okay, so now you know a distinction between doing something kind of small and very deliberate in a joint area versus, right? Because puts tension in your system, right? So you're overpowering that tension. So there's still some soreness, but you're noticing that something can change. I'm thinking, I don't want to put words into your brain, but it sounds like that's what you're thinking. Okay, great. Yeah. Okay. Love it. Okay. So now let's do a little bit of coaching. So keep coming back to your breath. Okay. Okay. So there was in the chat box, there was an anonymous in the Q&A rather, an anonymous attendee said, I have fibro and very little exercise causes so much pain and discomfort. This keeps me from doing anything. Yes. So the anonymous attendee who wrote that, if you can post in chat, if you feel any different, or was there anything new that you felt with your breathing or with your movement? What if you can give me a little bit more information? Because there's some really interesting things about fibromyalgia, because with fibromyalgia, there's something that you might want to look into, which is EDS. And what I can do is, I'm just going to quickly do this. Hold on. Dr. Russick. I'm going to give you this link. Here. I'm going to just quickly post this for you. Okay. She has found a link between fibro and hypermobility disorder. So check her out. That's for the anonymous attendee. And from pain to possibility is my podcast. But if you go check her out, there's also a really strong correlation between fibromyalgia and the ability just to recuperate, right? Just to recuperate and recover. So what I like to say to my clients who have fibro is that we have to recognize is that your recuperation rate is different than people who don't have fibro. And that can sometimes be a little frustrating. But if you can really get that your system just takes a bit longer to recuperate, then you can start to make a bit more gain. But I would also check out Leslie Russick, because she sees a lot of correlation between fibro pain and hypermobility. And once you get a proper diagnosis, that can sometimes be helpful. Okay. I have 5 years of unresolved plantar fasciitis. I'm really struggling. I have a dog now, so I have to be walking, but the unresolved pain is so demotivating for getting moving. Okay. So there's a whole bunch that's in there. What I want to show you that will start you on your way is one thing to remember is that your foot is at the bottom of this big long chain and it rotates like this. And so do you see how the foot moves when I move my leg bone? So a lot of times, like, we can roll out the foot, and there's lots of rollers and massage techniques that can be used, rolling out on a tennis ball. You've probably heard of those things. And what we need to do is also ultimately come up here and then free this area up. So there's things that you need to kind of need to explore. And what I can do is, and you can also look at this, if you go to the Pain to Possibility podcast, I speak about plantar fasciitis on one of the episodes. So if you do Pain to Possibility and like Google search plantar fasciitis, I do talk about it. And then there are some YouTube videos or Facebook Live videos that I've done that were specific to the feet that people have got a lot of benefit from. So you might want to poke around there. And then, what I can also do, because let me just make a note. I will, I'll find some and then I'll post them in I'll ask like the crew, I'll ask the OBS crew to post them, but I will post some plantar fasciitis video, like feet videos. They may not be plantar fasciitis specific, but they'll be feet videos that you can check out. Okay. Okay. And okay. So, I got quad and inner thigh cramps at night after exercise. Okay. So Sarah, you were posting in the chat. Is that feeling better now? Is that better through your legs a little bit when you notice? Yeah. I'm just letting me know, cause I noticed that you posted in the Q&A. I started walking for movement. So Sarah, just give me a bit more in the chat so I have a bit more to go with. I started walking for movement back in January. I'm pretty consistent with keeping it up. I have a problem with foot swelling, but I'm able to find shoes that work. I'm currently experiencing pain in my right back heel. I bought stick-on cushions for my shoes. However, some days this does not help. Do you have any recommendations? Okay, so this is where I will, these feet videos will probably be super helpful. So I will post those for you. Yes, yoga can be really great for back pain. Yeah. Okay. I'll post some links for back pain too. All right. So osteopenia diagnosis for the past 10 years, I'm 72, yet told to get off calcium due to, I don't know anything about that. I'm only good for movement and mechanics. Sorry. I don't know about going off of calcium. That's not my wheelhouse. Sorry about that, Rhonda. When I was moving my shoulder blade, the right bicep started twinging. Water aerobics helps most time. Any suggestions? Okay, so the right bicep was twinging. So what I would start with is something like this. If you bring your shoulders up to your ears and then pull your shoulder blades back and then bring them down. And I want to show you something here. When you do that, you're raising this guy up, and the bicep area attaches from here and then across, and there's also attachment here down this arm and then from there. And you'll see that when I bring my shoulder blades back, then I'm asking the tissue here to sort of stretch or to release. Yeah. So if I'm doing this, but there's something limiting that movement, then a twingy feeling might happen. I mean, I can't see you, so I don't know for sure. But what you can do is this. I'll go here. So you bring them up and then you pull them back and you go down. Now notice when you get that twingy and move in the range that doesn't have the twingy happen. So from here, move in the range where there's no twingy happening, right? Because there's a relationship between how those blades are moving likely on your rib cage and then what's going on in through this area. So start to play with that. The other thing to pay attention to is if you're bringing your arms up and pulling the shoulder blades back, watch that you're not moving from your rib cage. The movement is your shoulder blades. If you are moving and you stick those ribs out like to do this, now you're doing the movement from here, right? And that might be good for dance, but we're not doing dance, right? We're wanting to help improve movement so your pain can reduce. So really focus in on what you're doing through here and then add in your breathing so your breathing is super easy, okay? On really rough days with back pain, I find using a hypnosis app great, really takes the pain. Brilliant. When I finish a move again, the pain quickly comes back. What can I do to keep the pain at bay, like when I'm in the app? Okay, so Karen, when you just did that twisting work, did anything change in terms of what you felt in your back or in your torso? Okay, just post that into the chat for me, okay? Oh, I thank you. I've always thought I've had hypermobility. I appreciate you. Yes. And the anonymous attendee who said that, if that's the fibro, person with fibro, send me an email and I can put you in touch with some other people if you want, because I've worked a lot with people with hypermobility. Okay. I have tendonitis in my shoulder, and at any time I do big movements, it hurts and can cause shoulder and neck issues for a week, and even a long walk and hurt. The next exercise today felt good, but the shoulder stuff didn't. I feel like I can't even do the basics to heal myself. Okay. So Annie, what I would like you to do based off of just this, and I can't see you, so I'm limited in giving some really like full stuff, but what you can do is if you did the neck, if the neck stuff felt all right, and you played with the twist and did the shoulder movements like this, but only in the range that doesn't increase pain, and you're breathing easy, play with those for the next little bit. Okay. Play with those for the next little bit. Okay. Okay, great. So the neck exercise was all right. Perfect. Okay. So play with the twist and the shoulder rolls and the neck, and don't add in the arms, and make sure you're breathing and stick with that for the next little bit and see what happens. Just make sure you move in the range that doesn't increase pain. Okay. Okay. I'm recovering from weakness and a lack of stamina. Docked from an iron deficiency. Doctor says to push it, but my recovery time is so painful. Okay, so this one's tricky because there's an iron deficiency that's involved. And that's a little, even though I've worked with people with iron deficiencies, it's a bit outside my wheelhouse to give specificity around that. What I would say to my client without knowing anything, so take this with a massive grain of salt, is to honor your recuperative time, because the recuperation is what's really super important here. And then and kind of play with your recuperation time. And then once you've got your recuperation time a bit more solid, then notice what's happening. There's a number of different things you can work with supporting people, like supporting you. And I can't get into all of it because I know of people who can work with iron deficiency, but it just depends if you want to work outside the medical model or not. But that's not really my wheelhouse. But it's like if you can tune into more relaxation exercises and supporting yourself on that rest side of the equation, then I think you'll notice a difference in your body. And there's lots of different tools, from whether it's meditation apps or yoga nidra is fantastic, and different ways of supporting yourself in relaxation and rest and support that side of things. I think you'll notice a difference, but it, I'm hesitant to say anymore because I can't see you. I don't know. I would be reckless to say anything more, although you can tell that I want to say a lot more, but I can't because I don't know you well enough. And the specifics of iron deficiency are outside my wheelhouse. And same with sodium deficiency, Barbara. Yeah, that's outside my wheelhouse. Okay. Can you explain more about recuperation time? Do you mean between workouts? Yes. It's the quality of the rest. And sometimes that quality has something to do with how much time is in between workouts. So it depends on the person and how quickly they recover physiologically between bouts of workout. And that recovery rate can be impacted by what's going on in your life, what's going on mentally and emotionally, what's going on, like how you're responding to life, whether where you are at, like if you're in altitude or not altitude, or whether you're on vacation, like all those things have an impact on the way that you recover and how that you reboot yourself. Yeah. Okay. All right. There's a lot of questions here about back pain. So I've got a note to post some back pain videos, and I will, I'll mention to the No BS crew and I'll post them up, and they can post them for me on your boards. So is it better to do 10 minutes that you can recover from overnight, or push it and take it a few days to recover? All things being equal, if I was working with a client, the principle that I would follow is, if there's nothing that I'm grunting to get to, I would do the former. I would do something that is easier than something that I'm having to grunt. However, the caveat to that is what else is going on in those 3 days or few days? And then what are you noticing ultimately? And this is the true caveat is what are you noticing as results? Do you do better with your results after pushing it and then taking a few days to recover? Or if you do 10 minutes and recuperate overnight? So are you noticing a better result after doing the shorter bouts with an overnight recovery or a longer push bout in few days to recover? So really both of them, my bias would be to the former, but there are certainly times when I would do the latter. And more importantly, the biggest caveat is what's your result? And so when you notice the result, you follow the result because your result is unique to you, right? Your own process is your unique process. Your weight loss journey is yours. Your exercise journey is yours. And so how you cultivate it is yours. So ultimately follow the result. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, you're welcome. Okay. There's a lot of really great questions here. Okay. When I bend my neck, it's okay, but the jaw gets tight. Okay. So the jaw, as you can see here, the jaw has a very close spatial connection to the neck. And if I was to put muscles and connective tissue on here as well, you would see that there's a lot of connection between this little guy here and this little guy here. Yeah. And so there's a very strong connection between your jaw and your neck, huge connection actually. And so what I would do in the short little bit that we've done here as an example is only go as far as you are feeling really, really easy through this area of your jaw. But also what you can do is if you take your hands and you take your thumb and there's this little bit here that you can find on the behind your ear and you take your thumb and press up on it. So let me show you. So you're here like this. And you'll feel as you bring your hands up and behind the ears, you can just kind of feel those little points. And then don't like try and lift your head off your neck, but try to lift your head off your neck. And you just kind of lift up, but be easy. Like you're not literally trying to lift your head off your neck. So be easy with it as you lift. Yeah. Good. And notice what that feels like. Obviously do it within a range that doesn't increase pain. Okay. Now what happens as you move your head left and right, right? Or this way or this way, or maybe you just lift it and then or here now do it. And does that make any difference? Okay, try that, Pam. Okay. Okay, great. Good. Nice relief from the jaw. Good. All right. I've got a few more minutes here. These are really, really great questions. Okay. I feel that my back is really tight. I had L3-5 fusion surgery because my left leg was going numb and I was becoming unable to walk more than 3 to 5 feet. Now I'm trying to get more flexibility. Oh, I think there was something here yet. Okay. So the piece here is a big piece is that what I want you to think about with your hips and with walking. And this is what I'll finish up on. And we'll go over just a little bit of time here. Is that when you're thinking about walking, lots of people will talk about walking as being like the bottom of the foot. Yeah. And that it, because this is the foundation. When you really look at walking, what you're looking at is how the leg bone moves in your pelvis. See that? This guy has to sit on this platform. So this platform has to be quite stable. And when we're also walking, there's a little tiny bit of rotation up through your torso. So how you rotate through your torso and how stable this is and how this leg bone actually moves here. So you got to balance on one foot has an impact on the way the foot lands. So what you'll find is that if you can support yourself with improving the way that you move in and around your hip, then how your back feels will likely be a little bit different. Yeah. And then you'll notice that your walking starts to change. So what I'll do is I'll find a few of my Facebook videos or my YouTube videos, and I'll share those with the NoBS team, and they can post them. And then you've got them, and you can kind of follow them and see how that works for you. And just, you've got something to work with, right? Like, you've got something to start to grow your awareness and sort of tune in, so that then when you start to recognize and feel and gain that kind of that inner power for your own self of how your body moves, then if you have to go and see someone like a PT or a massage or a physician or any other specialist, you've got that much more data and information that you can share with them, and you can really advocate for yourself. Yeah. All right. Great. All right. Well, thank you. 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 This has been so, so great. And I would love to answer more of these questions, but right now here we are, we're at the top of the hour, and I will have those links for you that you can follow. All right. You all have a really, really, really great, great, great evening. And if you're watching the recording, however the time you are, and we will see you another time. Take good care.